sky for amber waves of green, for purple mountains that to see above the fruited land.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the radio station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But hold your calls, because we have with us on the line Mr. Bob Cohn, and we're going to be talking about his book, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. And Mr. Cohn is an attorney. He is the vice chairman of the board of Borland Software Corporation, which is a large corporation here in Santa Cruz, one of our major employers out there in Scotts Valley. He is a prize-winning essayist. He co-authored the legal treatise on Cohn, musical licensing, which the USA Today called the Bible of Legal Issues in the Music World. And he even created a company called eMusic.com. Is that still going, Bob?
Yes, eMusic is now a subsidiary of Universal Studios.
Okay, fine. Well, was that a buyout on their part?
That's right. We sold eMusic, which was a public company, to Universal in 2001.
All right, fine. Well, then you probably have the time then to do some of the work and some of the research, because you put a lot of time and effort into writing this book on the New York Times, didn't you?
That's right. It's been in works for over a year.
Well, why don't you tell us, of course, you've been reading the New York Times for many years, and you, of course, feel, is it a lot worse now as far as slanting the front pages, not the editorial pages, but the news pages of the New York Times to the left? Of course, we know that the editorial policy is left, but do you think it's a lot worse now than it has been before?
Yes, I think it all really started about 5 years ago. Now, you know, as you said, the New York Times has always been a liberal newspaper, and it's always expressed those liberal views on its editorial pages. And frankly, I don't have a problem with their doing that. That's their exercise of freedom of speech. There are plenty of people on talk radio and others to counteract what they're saying in their editorial pages. But when they disguise their editorial views in the form of a straight news story on the front page, that's a form of journalistic fraud that I have a problem with. In other words, they're taking their opinions, disguising it as a straight news story, putting it on the front page, and when they disguise their opinion as a straight news story, they are giving it a level of credibility it doesn't deserve, and that's being dishonest. That's a real problem. That's the problem I have with the New York Times, and it's been very bad in the past 5 years.
Well, of course, we know back in the 1930s, Will Durant, who was their reporter over in Russia, certainly on not the editorial pages, but the front pages, covered up the mass starvation, the starvation to death of 6 or 7 million people in Ukraine. We know that Herbert Matthews in the late 1950s was calling Fidel Castro the Robin Hood of Cuba. Wasn't that also examples of the misuse of the pages, not the editorial pages, but the pages of the New York Times,
yes,
leftist slant?
Yes, absolutely. And those are two very low points for the newspaper. But I can't blame anyone today for the, you know, lies of Walter Duranty or the, you know, the terrible work of Herb Matthews, as we said, because he was responsible for Castro taking power in Cuba.
We're going to be right back here in just a moment, and you're going to find this is a fascinating program right here. Our guest is Bob Cohn. His book, Journalistic Fraud. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest for this afternoon is Bob Kohn, K-O-H-N. We're talking about his book, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. And, you know, I've been reading the Times, as Bob has for many years, and it's a wonderful, wonderful newspaper, wonderful articles. But, of course, it slants the news, and, of course, you expect that on the editorial pages. But there, of course, when it's reporting the news has a marked slant to the left, and I think that that is the point that Bob is trying to make. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the editorial page. They have liberal views on there. It's always been liberal. But it seems in the past 5 years, ever since Arthur Sulzberger Jr. took over as the publisher of the New York Times, they have really begun to take their news pages, and they don't consider their newspapers as a way of informing the public. They consider their newspapers as a way of influencing public opinion, and that's a real problem.
And, of course, you talk about how they, of course, carried article after article after article demeaning the Augusta Golf Course, a golf course that had no women members, 300 members. No, and, of course, they were going to have the Masters tournament there. And of course, they criticized CBS for covering the Masters tournament because it was played at a golf course without any women members. And this was a real crusade on their part, wasn't it? Done not in the editorial pages, but on the news pages.
That's right. It was a culmination of 33 news stories, not editorials. And they had a couple of editorials, you know, asking that Tiger Woods boycott the Masters tournament. And if they want to do that, you know, no problem. And Tiger Woods has to make his own decision. And his decision, of course, was to play the tournament anyway. But when it culminated on the front page of the New York Times, a story that said, you know, CBS, the headline was CBS, which is the company that broadcast the Masters tournament, CBS remains silent as to whether they're going to boycott the Masters tournament, whether they're going to broadcast it. I mean, that's not reporting the news. That was reporting that which didn't happen.
Well, of course, don't you think that they really are trying to create a public swell of support for their position and trying to demean and demonize people who don't go along with their position? They're using the newspaper not to report the news, but to make events happen.
That's right. That's the essential problem here. And I frankly think that their use of the news pages to influence public opinion is not only dishonest, I think it can kick the legs out under democracy because, you know, people have a right to know, and the knowledge that you get about daily events is from the news pages. But if the news pages, if all it is opinion, you know, the New York Times is opinion, then the people aren't getting the knowledge they need to make their own judgments as to, you know, how to...
Hold that thought. We're going to have to just bring on one more... Okay, Dr. Stan here. We're not going to have any interruptions for a little while, Bob. So please finish that thought I so rudely interrupted.
Sure. Well, you know, the point I was making is that this is not only a bad thing for the New York Times, that is their use of the news pages to influence public opinion. You know, I think the newspaper is becoming a tabloid. I was on a newscast or a radio program last month on Don Imus, and he said, look, I just tossed the first section of the Times and read the rest of the paper. But it's not just bad for the New York Times, it's bad for democracy. You know, we have a right to know, and that right to know means that we have the right to know the facts, that we have the right to know the truth, and that's what the newspaper is supposed to report in its news pages. And then maybe support it with opinion if they want, an analysis on their op-ed and their editorial page. But when they provide that opinion in the form of a straight news story, they're giving the opinion a level of credibility it doesn't deserve, and they're misinforming the public, and the public is not getting what they need to know, and I think that's very, very bad for our political process.
Well, you talked about in your book about this Augusta Golf Club that had 300 members and none of them were women. They had a policy. They didn't want any women there, and we can debate whether that's right or wrong, but of course, that's their decision, their property, but of course, the New York Times was going to change that, and then, of course, they ran this 33 separate articles condemning the golf club, and then when a couple of their sports page writers wrote and said, you know, we don't think this is fair. You're using, you know, your news stories to create, to present an editorial position. Their stories were spiked. In other words, they refused to print their own reporters' stories because, of course, they were critical of the way that they were misusing the news pages of the New York Times in contrast to the editorial pages.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the policy was that women could play golf at the club, but there was a 300-member club that's all male, and that was the policy last week. That was the policy last month. That was the policy last year. That's what the policy was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But the reason why it became news last year is that the New York Times put it on its front page. You know, and people even within the paper disagreed with it, as you mentioned. A couple of sports writers disagreed. They try to write columns that disagreed with the editorial page, and their stories weren't published. So it's the New York Times, it's become what I call a massive soft money operation. It's no longer, the aim of the New York Times is no longer to report the news impartially. The aim of the New York Times is to influence public opinion and influence it with their liberal views.
And of course, as somebody once said, freedom of the press means that the people who own the press have the freedom to distort the news any way they want to, and they're not supposed to.
Well, the problem is that, you know, or actually it's both a good thing and a bad thing. You know, because of the First Amendment, there's never going to be, you know, when the New York Times commits journalistic fraud, there's not going to be a Federal Trade Commission investigation or a special prosecutor appointed or the Justice Department to take action. You know, you're not going to see the editor of the New York Times hauled off with handcuffs because he was dishonest and lied and committed fraud on his own front page. So what we need to do as citizens of our republic is to educate ourselves to be able to separate news from opinion. It's very important. You know, you can no longer rely on the fact that there's opinion on the editorial pages and news on the news pages. If you're going to read the New York Times or any newspaper, you've got to educate yourself with the tools of how the news is distorted, and that was the purpose of my book.
And, of course, you comment that there was a man named Herman Dinsmore who, you know, 40 years ago, he was the foreign correspondent or the foreign edition editor of the Times, and he was pointing out that even 40 years ago that they were distorting the news, because I knew Herman Dinsmore. I'm old enough to have known a lot of these people.
Yeah, well, you know, it's been bad for a long time. But I tell you, in the past 5 years, it's gotten very, very bad. I was able to, in my book, quote, lead sentences that were written while Nixon was having all of his difficulty. And even in those days, the New York Times tried to play it fairly straight on its front page. That's not the case today. I was able to put together in my book, as you saw, you know, chapters called Distorting the Lead Sentence. You know, distorting the headlines, distorting with labels, distorting with placement, distorting the polls. And my book focuses on the techniques, the subtle and not so subtle techniques that the New York Times use to manipulate the news and to manipulate what your view of the world.
Why don't you talk a little bit about how they use headlines, because I think that's always been one of my favorite subjects. They know how to use a headline, and the headline may not have anything to do with the article, but that's what you remember because it's big black print, and that's indelibly imprinted in your subconscious.
Right. Most people just get their news from the headlines. You know, very few people, you know, go on to read the lead sentence, and then if you read the lead sentence, even fewer people go on to read the rest of the story. But to give you an example, that they like, if it's something that that they don't like, that if it disagrees with their editorial opinion, they like to bury the story or write a headline that has nothing to do with the news. And it was a great example leading up to the war in Iraq. You might remember the New York Times was trying to portray, you know, that the United States was going it alone. They kept on saying we were going it alone. You know, of course we had 40 nations behind us, and finally, leaders of 8 European nations, including the Czech Republic, Denmark, Hungary, Italy, Poland, Portugal, Spain, and the UK, you know, with Tony Blair, published an open letter supporting the United States on its strategy to disarm Saddam Hussein. And they thanked the United States for its past bravery, generosity, and farsightedness. Now, it would have been very easy to report this news. I mean, this was big news, you know, on its front page, and like some of the other papers did, and use a very simple, straightforward headline: 8 European nations declare strong support for Bush on Iraq. I mean, that was the news story. But that's not how the Times reported it. They buried it on their 10th page, okay, on page 10, and the headline, you'd never know. Here was the headline to that story: European leaders divide between hawks and doves. I mean, that was the headline that they used to totally obscure that story.
Well, I think that this is one of the problems we face, is when you can't trust your media, when you can't trust the New York Times, and of course I don't really trust any of the major media, even the Wall Street Journal many times will slant articles, and not just on the editorial page, but on the front pages, which is very, very distressing. But certainly the New York Times is the worst one. And then what about this fellow Jason Blair? Now, that was really one of the watershed events for the New York Times. And why was that so important? Who was Jason Blair, and why was, of course, his exposure such an embarrassment to this newspaper that says it is the official newspaper of record for the United States?
The Jason Blair was that reporter who was caught making up a few stories, copying some colleagues' work, lying about where he was when he submitted the stories, and the New York Times made a big thing of that. This is back in May. And some of the things that he made up, Jason Blair was the least of their problems. It shows that there's a systematic problem with that institution. It's like the difference between a skin rash and a skin cancer. Blair was the rash. He went away, but the cancer is still there at the New York Times. A reporter making up a few stories pales in comparison to the pattern of distortion that's been going on in the Times before Jason Blair and now after Jason Blair.
Well, did you have a feeling, as I did, that they're saying, oh, well, now, of course, we have to expose this. We want to do everything right. This is a bad guy. We're going to get rid of him, and everything's going to be fine. Now you can trust us once again.
Yeah, well, that's just, window dressing for the big problem that they have. The Jason Blair affair pointed out the problem. I mean, the reason why he was lying to the American public about this and making up these stories was to please his editor. And the guys who were fired at the Times as a result, Jason Blair's boss, Howell Raines wasn't fired because he was too liberal. He was fired because he was a despot around the office. They couldn't deal with him. They didn't like the guy. And then they replaced him with an executive editor who was writing editorials for the past several years, who got up in front of his newsroom and denied that there was any liberal bias at the paper. And it's like, Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're going to change things, you got to first admit you got a problem. Well, they don't even realize they have this problem.
I agree with you totally. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to talk to Bob about his book, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. And, of course, certainly it's always had a liberal bias, but, of course, it's just so blatant at the present time. And, of course, it is just it has such a tremendous influence because it is so widely read across America, and because so much of the newspapers, certainly the art section, the motion picture section, the scientific section, is unparalleled as far as I'm concerned. But, of course, when they're distorting the news, that's what really bothers them.
This is, you just hit a very important point here, because this is not a New York problem. The New York Times holds itself out as being the highest standard of journalism. And the rest of journalism, all the other people in the mainstream media, whether it's on television news or newspapers, they all believe the New York Times is the highest standard of journalism. But that standard has fallen. Jason Blair put it into a tailspin, but people are recognizing that the New York Times is distorting the news now. So the standard of journalism is falling at the Times, and that means that the standard of all of journalism is going to fall, and that's got to be a concern to everybody. But let me just say that there's a more practical problem here. The New York Times owns 15 other newspapers around the country. And in addition to that, they own what's called the New York Times News Service. And what that means is that every evening, 650 news organizations around the country, including every single major metropolitan newspaper, and even the minor ones. I'm sure like in San Francisco Chronicle and the L.A. Times and the Santa Cruz Sentinel and the papers in Florida and Alabama, they all receive the New York Times, the reports from the New York Times in their own papers. Well, anyway, I'll finish this up when we come back.
All right. Well, no, I don't worry. I'll get you off there. We have a few more seconds here.
Sure.
But, of course, and this is really what's so frightening about this is that so many newspapers across America will carry these, and what you want to do is look at the byline on the articles in your local newspaper. I mean, does it come off of AP? Does it come off of the Los Angeles Times? Chances are it's going to come off of the New York Times.
Right.
And that, of course, is going to be giving you this same liberal bias in your local newspaper, whether it be conservative or liberal, because the average newspaper doesn't have the personnel to get all of these stories. The New York Times does. But when we depend upon it for truth, we're in real trouble. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning system. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about a couple of the items we carry. One of them, of course, is the Big Berkey water filters, and the Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. Of course, you can put 2.5 gallons of water in the top, and it comes out the bottom, and it's been filtered through ceramic filters, of course, that are packed with activated charcoal, and this will take out most of the chlorine and most of the heavy metals and pesticides and bacteria, and, of course, it's what the missionaries have been using for 150 years. A great, great product. They ordinarily, these are $239.95. If you buy this through Radio Liberty, why, of course, you'll get a four-tape set or a video that we produced. So the Big Berkey is a wonderful thing to have. Simply around the house, if you want to, don't like the taste of your water, there's too much chlorine in it. Now, if you have fluoride, you can get a special post filter to put on the bottom that'll take out the fluoride or take out the arsenic and MTBE. As I say, these are, you can see them up on our website at radioliberty.com. Get the pictures and the Big Berkey in case it was an emergency of any sort. Of course, you can filter lake water or pond water or just about any water and have it potable. So call us at 1-800-544-8927. The Big Berkey is available in every state in the Union except for California and Iowa. And of course, if you'd like something that is available in every state but Iowa, that would mean you could get one in California. Why, of course, this is the Berkey Light, and they're only $199.95 plus $10 of shipping. But, of course, we offer the same reward package, a four-tape set or a video that we produce if you buy it through us. And, of course, this is made out of Lexan. It's, of course, what you make bulletproof glass out of, so you can actually see the level, water level. The filters are really much more efficient. They really will purify the water rather than simply filter it, but they, of course, have to be changed every 2 to 4 years. They're called the Black Berkey filters. Anyway, if you'd like to get more information, go to our website at radioliberty.com, or to order, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got two callers on the line. Let's go to Spencer calling from Ohio. Spencer, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. You know, one of the worst cases of fraud and deception I think I've ever seen is the New York Times, January 4th, 1967, where Jack Ruby's pictured on the front page, And then on page 20, there's another picture of, well, they say it's Earl Ruby, but it's obviously Jack Ruby driving away from Parkland Hospital. Do you have any comment on this, and do you think that Jack Ruby faked his own death?
No, I don't think so at all. Thank you so much, Spencer. Of course, Jack Ruby was, of course, tied into the mafia, and that is why he was ordered, given an order by the mafia to kill Lee Harvey Oswald. If you doubt that, you need to read a book written by the brother of Chuck Giancano, Sam Giancano. That's Chuck Giancano. We have it. It's called Double Cross, and goes into, of course, the relationship between the CIA and, of course, the mafia, written from the mafia's point of view. So you really want to get that book. And, of course, let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. Fred, do you have any thoughts at all about that, what our caller was saying?
No, I want to talk about what's supposedly been...
Let's see what Bob has
to say. Yeah, no, I was listening carefully, but unfortunately I was only 10 years old when that picture appeared.
Right, well, I don't know anything at all about that, and I think that that's probably a little far out. Fred, did you have a question or comment? This is Fred calling from Salinas.
I wanted to ask your guest, wanted to talk about the guy that was supposed to have been our most trusted newsman that we've ever had in the country. And
you're talking about Walter Cronkite?
Walter Cronkite. And in the last couple of years, I've seen interviews with him, and his views are, if they're not far socialist, they're almost communist. And it seems like, was that his slant all the time that he was...
You know, I think there's no doubt that that was his slant all the time, although in the many years that he was on television, he never would have admitted to it. At least today, he's grown up enough to admit to it. But it's unfortunate that he probably can't admit today that he was slanting the news, because he probably didn't think he was.
And, of course, he was the anchor man on CBS before we had Dan Rather.
He even admitted to one of the interviewers he had that he would like to see all of the countries lose their, not become a country anymore, and they all go under the United Nations. And
he's a member of the United World Federalists, and I get all the information, repeated letters from him asking me to join the United World Federalists or to pay my dues or something. Okay, anything
anyway,
else, Fred?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you. And, of course, this is one of the problems we have, is when people pretend to be impartial, and yet, of course, they're really sort of dedicated to socialism, which is the antithesis of freedom. And you talk about this gentleman in the New York Times editorial page. Was his name Raines?
Howell Raines, yeah. He was the editorial page editor for 8 years prior to being plucked off the editorial page to run the newsroom. So they had someone who was writing liberal editorials for eight years. Everybody knows his liberal views. And they put him in charge of 1,200 people who were supposed to report the news impartially. Well, of course, they didn't do that. They reported the news slanted with his editorial opinions.
Well, don't you think many times a reporter who wants to keep his job many times will slant the news? Because, of course, if he loses his job, he's out of luck.
That's exactly what happened at the New York Times. I mean, that was the reason why Jason Blair was able to flourish. He was making John Ashcroft look bad. And he got a letter of congratulations, or an email of congratulations, from Howell Raines saying, good shoe leather reporting, when in fact it was not reporting. The guy was just making it up.
And, of course, a lot of this then goes to Mr. Sulzberger, Arthur Sulzberger, Jr., who now is the managing editor of that. And you comment, you feel that he bears a large bit of responsibility, because he really, of course, is the major force behind the Times, isn't he?
He is actually the publisher of the New York Times and the chairman and CEO of the New York Times Company. His great-great-grandfather bought the Times in 1896, and his great-great-grandfather said that the aim of the New York Times is to report the news impartially. Well, Arthur Sulzberger Jr. has turned that tradition on its head by changing the aim of the New York Times to being, the purpose of the Times seems to be to influence public opinion with the liberal views of the editorial page. And he's the one who was the one who hired Howell Raines to begin with. That was his first managerial decision, and that became a total disaster. And I think the result here is that the New York Times, in maybe not in the way it looks, but certainly in the way it reports the news, it's becoming no different from all of the tabloids that are out there. And it's becoming a very sad thing for this 100-year-old institution.
And, of course, it used to have a caption, we print all the news that's fit to print.
Well, now it might as well say, you know, we are a liberal newspaper.
Or as my friend Herman Dinsmore said, we publish all the news that fits. But that was the title of the book he wrote some 35 or 40 years ago.
Well, certainly that news is giving me fits, and that's why I wrote this book, Journalistic Fraud.
And I appreciate so much you're doing it. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty.
That will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Carr's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Carr's book, Due to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and first I want to tell you about some of the other products we carry. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims for them. But I will tell you, of course, that the people who use them tell us some amazing, amazing stories of how they help their rashes, their acne, or certainly the neutralizer helps their gastric reflux or the lower intestine. And all I can tell you is that the people who use the products love them. We love them ourselves. We've used them for several years now. I use the moisturizing soap regularly. My wife uses the gel, and I use the gel as well. And, of course, there's a soap and a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, a gel, and a lotion. All five of these are available at a special introductory offer. All we could do is suggest you try them if you want to know more about them, or you can go to our website, or, of course, if you would like to get an introductory offer at a reduced price, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we also carry something called Phonopoly. It's a program that will teach you or your children or grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Most of these programs that teach phonics are $300-$500. This is $139.95. It's five board games, two bonus games, and of course we throw in a couple of books. It's designed by Myrna Culbraith, who actually created the phonics game and eventually sold that, and now she's created Phonopoly. It's a fun game to play. And in 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that's been done in the liberal educational system. We also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum that will take your children from grammar school to high school graduation for $199.95. There's nothing quite like it. It's on 22 CDs. Everything is there that you need, the Saxon textbooks. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this afternoon is Bob Cohn. His book is entitled Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted. Do you read several newspapers, or do you still just read, or do you only read the Times?
Well, I primarily read the Times, but I have a local paper, the Monterey Herald, that I read, and also occasionally the Wall Street Journal, and sometimes USA Today, especially when I'm traveling.
All right, fine. Well, actually, I read the New York Times, the Washington Times, the Wall Street Journal, and our local newspaper, and I love the weekend edition of the Washington Post. Even though it's an extremely liberal newspaper, I like to know what the enemy is doing, and some fascinating articles you'll never see elsewhere. But, of course, I have a little bit more time since I'm retired now. I only do 5 hours of talk radio. Anyway, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania, and incidentally, our telephone number, if you're out across America listening, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yes, if you please, gentlemen. I'd like to know if you include the quote from John S. Swinton, editor of New York Times, which I have attributed to him, date 1914, but the date tends to vary. Anyway, it starts, "There's no such thing as an independent press in America," and ends with, "We are intellectual prostitutes."
I know the quotation. Do you know that quotation at all, Bob?
You know, I've someone mentioned it to me, but I didn't ever know exactly where the source was.
Actually, it was actually back about 1888, somewhere there. And fortunately, Dr. Dennis Cuddy tracked it down, and we could always get you a copy of that. I don't know where we have it, but I have it around someplace.
You know,
a fascinating quote, but very little has changed in the last 100 years.
No, you know, you can't hold, I don't think you can hold accountable anyone currently living and working at the New York Times for things that were done or said, you know, 100 years ago, or even, you know, the Walter Duranty situation, except this. You know, the New York Times won a Pulitzer Prize for Walter Duranty's work. You know, his reporting of Stalin in a favorable light while Stalin was killing millions, tens of millions of people. You know, I mean, nobody here at the New York Times today could be responsible for that terrible reporting. But the New York Times still has to pull that Pulitzer Prize that he won at their corporate offices. And you can hold these guys responsible today for not returning the Pulitzer Prize.
I agree with you totally. And there are people who saying, you know, pointing out what Walter Duranty did back in the 30s, personally responsible, in my estimation, for concealing from the American people the planned starvation of 6 to 7 million people. Anything else you want to say, Roger?
Yeah, well, lastly, the substance and truth in that quote is undeniable, even if it was a total fabrication, which I think there, as you said, Cuddy dug it up. Well, God bless, gents.
God bless. Thank you so much. And, of course, anybody who wants that Swinton quotation, we can get it for you. Actually, I believe it's in one of Dennis Cuddy's recent books. Well, Alice, you go through the New York Times day after day, and of course what you've done in your book is, of course, you've shown how they've used the headlines and of course, the way they slant the article to inflame the reader, you know, against the people they want or to get them to support the positions that they want.
Right. There's some very subtle techniques that they use. As you remember, in Chapter 3, I talk about how they distort the lead sentences. That is the first sentence of every news article. And I show the reader how you're supposed to write a lead sentence, the who, what, why, when, where, and how of a news story. And then I show you how not to write a lead sentence, and I use numerous examples from the Times, how they slant the who, how they slant the what, how they slant the why. For example, on how they slant the why, when President Bush signed into law the Department of Homeland Security, they could have written a story as simply as this: President Bush today signed a law establishing the Department of Homeland Security. Okay? Who, what, why, when, where, and how. But they didn't do that. What the New York Times said that morning was, responding to widespread criticism on his war on terrorism, President Bush today signed a bill to establish the Department of Homeland Security. In other words, they pre-spun the news. Responding to widespread criticism on his war against terrorism, when they wrote that, that was at a time when President Bush had an 80% approval rating on his war on terrorism. The only widespread criticism was within the news corridors and the editorial page of the New York Times.
But, of course, they can influence how the American people think simply by slanting the articles there in the New York Times. And then, of course, with the help of ABC, CBS, and NBC, many times they're all sort of pushing in the same direction. And if all you ever read is one slant, well, somebody once said it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If it's said often enough, people will eventually believe. I think,
you know,
Goebbels said something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, you say, you know, Peter Jennings and Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather, you know, the New York Times reaches a certain amount of people. And I mentioned earlier through their New York Times news service, they reach virtually every major metropolitan newspaper in the country. You could be sitting in your own hometown reading your local paper, and there on the front page is a story, an article, written and slanted by the reporters and editors of the New York Times. But on top of that, Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings, and Dan Rather each have about 10 to 15 million viewers a night. But they never quote anyone like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or anyone out there on the right. But they quote the New York Times almost every night. And if they're not quoting the Times, they're talking about some New York Times news poll that was slanted that day, or some story that they manufactured, like the Augusta National problem. So the New York Times' influence is way, way beyond their individual newspaper. They are the bell cow of American journalism. They set the agenda for everybody else, and that's why I focused this book on the New York Times. I went right like a laser beam to the heart of the liberal cause.
How many people, how many subscriptions do they have to the New York Times? Do you have any idea?
There's about 1.5 million subscriptions to the New York Times.
And then, of course, you've got the other 600 newspapers that take their news service and republish their articles. So that's where their real influence is.
Then you multiply that with the three major network news and how they, you know, if it's not on the front page of the Times, when the Times decides something should be buried on page 10, you're not going to find that on Dan Rather that night. Okay, but if it's on the front page of the Times, you find it on Dan Rather. And let me tell you, the past month, the New York Times has completely ignored all of the good news that's going on in Iraq. You know, 5,000 small businesses established, a central bank established within 2 months. When it took, after post-war Germany, you know, it took the government 3 years to establish a central bank. There's a tremendous amount of good news coming out of Iraq, but it's not being reported by the New York Times, and therefore not reported by anybody else.
And of course, what you would point out, I'm sure, is that every time there's a bombing, every time there's a killing, every time an American is either shot or wounded, that, of course, is on the front page. But of course, the good things are going on in certain areas, Basra, where, you know, of course, life is getting back to a modicum of normal. Why we never hear about that?
We don't. I mean, the front page, page of today's New York Times, on Monday, October 13th, it's car bomb kills 6 at Baghdad hotel, at least 35 hurt. By the way, none of whom were Americans hurt. And yesterday there was another story on the front page, another car bombing. Again, none of whom were Americans who were hurt in the car bombing. But on the front page of today's Times, there's another slam. I mean, people have been saying that the New York Times is both anti-Christian and anti-Jewish, and I'm really coming around to that view. I mean, today's front page of the New York Times says, "Mainline Christianity withering in Europe." That's a headline on the front page of the New York Times.
Well, of course, unfortunately, there's an element of truth to it. But of course, the thing that really bothers me is you would expect that this newspaper would be very supportive of the Jewish state, and yet many times it's extremely critical of it. And of course, there are so many articles. In fact, when the Jewish government was going to give up 95% of its land in return for peace.
Yeah.
And of course, this was the most ridiculous thing in the world. And
it's terrible.
I happen to be an evangelical Christian. I thought that was, I mean, how could anybody force them into doing that? And the Jewish people were willing to do it in their desperation. And yet, of course, they tell us that our government is pro-Israel. And that certainly is not what a government that's pro-Israel would be doing.
Yeah, well, the New York Times, you know, I was in New York over the summer, and I was on a program called Update Israel. And the Jewish community in New York is very, very upset at the New York Times. They are canceling their subscriptions. They're very, very upset. And the funny thing is that the New York Times is as anti-Christian as it is anti-Jewish. It's amazing. I mean, the only religion they seem to respect would be like, you know, Muslims and Buddhism and whatever else.
Well, of course, this is the message we're trying to get out to our listeners. A repeated one, and that is that the real battle is a spiritual battle. And, of course, you're absolutely right. This is neither, this is both anti-Christian and anti-Jewish, or anything that would hold to the God of the Old or New Testaments. So anyway, of course, you know, of course, they slant the news, they influence the way the American people think. And, of course, the tragedy is, I wonder how many Americans really carefully analyze what they're reading, how many people simply accept what they read as fact, listening to Tom Brokaw, or reading the headlines in the New York Times, and, of course, they think they're getting the news without realizing they're being brainwashed.
Yeah.
This is what really bothers me.
You know, this past week, last Tuesday, I was on the O'Reilly Factor on television. I was on Fox and Friends last month. I was on the MSNBC. I was on a lot of these programs. And one of the Fox News guys, Judge Napolitano, who's their legal analyst, he interviewed me on Fox and Friends. And he, on the air, he told me, he says, "Look, hey, I read your book, and especially Chapter 3. And he says, "You know what, after reading your book, Bob, I will never read the New York Times or any newspaper the same way again." And I've been told this so many times by so many radio hosts and other people. I do provide you in a very friendly way, a very simple way, teaching you how to read the newspaper and how to separate opinion from the news pages so that you don't get influenced by these people, so that you can protect your spirituality from these people who are engaging war against you.
Well, I was very interested to see that your book was published by WND Books, and of course that's where on that Daily Book, which is a subdivision of Thomas Nelson.
That's
we
right.
Interviewed Paul Sperry, who wrote another WND book. And let me, ladies and gentlemen out there, first of all, Joe Farrow runs WorldNet Daily, a great patriot, a great American, and, you know, they have this publishing arm. They're trying to get these books out. I recommend them to you. They're excellent. And both Crude Politics, which we carry, and this one, which we very well will be carrying, Journalistic Fraud, where can people get that if they don't get it through Radio Liberty?
Journalistic Fraud is everywhere. You can get it on Amazon.com. There are some really wonderful reviews up there for the book as well. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Borders carries it, local bookstores carry it unless it's run by a liberal book buyer who won't carry books like this. You know, WND Books is, as you said, is a division of Thomas Nelson, which is the largest manufacturer of Christian books in the world. It's a wonderful publishing company out of Nashville, and it's like the greatest people I could ever be associated with. I know that if I had been associated with a New York publisher, I'd have a real uphill battle here.
And, of course, this is a subdivision that publishes WND Books, so watch for that in the future. I think that you'll find that they'll be putting out a lot of very, very interesting books. And, of course, what is the relationship between WorldNet Daily and WND Books?
It's like a joint venture where WND Books is a division of Thomas Nelson, but WorldNetDaily.com is, of course, that well-known website. It's like in the top 400 websites in the world. It gets an enormous amount of traffic, and as a matter of fact, I write a weekly column for WorldNet Daily now. It appears every Friday, and it's called Eye on the Times. And each week I write something about what's going on at the New York Times, and actually last week I really took the Los Angeles Times to task for what it tried to do to affect the election in the California recall.
You mean bringing out that story about 3 or 4 days before the election about Arnold Schwarzenegger's at least alleged misconduct? I don't know what to make of that story, because, of course, you know, of course, there were 6 women, but only 2 of them would give their names.
Yeah, it was even worse than that, because the 4 women who were not who were anonymous, whose names we don't know, were actually quoted specifically with very graphic language. And even under the New York Times style manual, if you're going to allow somebody to use your newspaper to attack another person, all right, in an you absolutely have to do it anonymously, all right, and you should do it as a last resort. But if you're going to do it, you paraphrase the people. You don't let them use their own graphic language to attack another person, because it's unfair to the person being attacked, and the reader has no way to judge the credibility of the person making the attack.
I just couldn't help but wonder how many of them were Democratic activists or Davis supporters.
Well, it was terrible how they held, you know, the Los Angeles Times withheld a story. They actually spiked a story about Gray Davis and his difficulty with women at work, that, you know, what he shook a woman by the shoulders and was yelling curse words, and he does this all the time.
What about throwing ashtrays and things?
Yeah, and there was a story that the LA Times reporters were working on, and the LA Times decided not to publish the story. Why? Because the stories were based upon anonymous sources. But when it came to writing a story about Arnold Schwarzenegger with anonymous sources, no problem. You know, and the other story that came out in the past week was that the Los Angeles Times actually leaked the information about what was going to be in that article to the people in the Davis campaign. So when I was in O'Reilly last week, O'Reilly asked me, what do you make of this? And I said, well, it looks to me that the LA Times was running Gray Davis's recall campaign, right from the front pages, providing talking points.
Well, I was not supporting Schwarzenegger, but I really felt that was just totally uncalled for, and I knew that they were withholding information on Davis. They were attacking Schwarzenegger, and of course, that is not journalism. That, of course, is using the pages and the front pages of the Los Angeles Times to influence the outcome of an election. And if we can't depend upon the Los Angeles Times and our major newspapers, where are we going to get our information other than on WorldNet Daily, or, of course, here on Radio Liberty?
Right. And, you know, it's very unfair to ask radio talk show hosts. I mean, radio talk show hosts can respond to the liberal views on the editorial page. You know, they could be the New York Times can be wrong on its editorial page, and you can explain to the public why they're wrong. But it's completely unfair to ask you guys to parse out, I mean, to basically respond to dishonesty. And that's what's dishonest, is when they disguise their opinion in the form of a straight news story. That's being completely dishonest. And you know, what the LA Times did to Schwarzenegger is just the tip of the iceberg. You wait and see what's going to happen over the next year with the New York Times versus George Bush. Because the New York Times is going to refuse to report any news that's good from Iraq, and they're going to refuse to support any news that's good on the economy. And let me just give you the latest example. Last Thursday, there was two really good economic reports. One, that the unemployment claims were down dramatically, okay? And the number two was, and that was a Reuters story that was on the wire on Thursday, and number two, retail sales jumped had its biggest jump in 18 months. Both of these on Thursday went out on the wire. Well, normally you'd see these kinds of stories about such news on the front page of the Times. Not on the front page, not in the main section, not on the front page of the business section. Buried deep on page 7 of the business section, there was an article, and it wasn't even written by a Times reporter. It was written by the Reuters, and the Times even muted the headline. So you would never know the economic news was good.
Well, Bob, thank you so much. We're out of time. It's been a real pleasure. I hope we can catch you on again onto our other programs. Obviously, you have a tremendous grasp of what's going on and have written a very important book. The title, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News. If you want to get it, give us a call at Radio Liberty. Thanks so very much, Bob.
Thank you. Good to be on the program.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable, but the regular sources call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, if you're interested in getting a copy of this book, Journalistic Fraud, How the New York Times Distorts the News and Why It Can No Longer Be Trusted, it's available through Radio Liberty, and of course, it is $25.99. And then, of course, we also carry the book, Crude Politics, goes into the background of course, what really happened in Afghanistan, how the special forces units that were sent in to get Osama bin Laden weren't allowed to get Osama bin Laden. Then we say, see, how would it be that he escaped? Well, he was supposed to escape, ladies and gentlemen. He's the best enemy that we could possibly have. And as long as we keep our attention focused on Osama bin Laden, the American people will progressively give up their freedom here at home. It's the same way with Saddam Hussein. Why can't we find the wicked Saddam Hussein? Well, I will tell you, we have in that book, Crude Politics, the story of what happened with Osama bin Laden. I don't know about Saddam Hussein, but I do know that Osama bin Laden was helped by the Saudis, and we're covering for the Saudis, and something's wrong with the picture. So give us a call if you'd like to get that book, Crude Politics, or the other book, Journalistic Fraud, at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like to get any 5 of the videos we've produced here at Radio Liberty, why, they're $69.95. It's a specially good offer. It's a video special, and we have probably 8 or 9 videos that we've actually made. So if you'd like to get any 5 of them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have a special on the Kennedy assassination, on the secret government, on the Pagan agenda, certainly of what happened at Waco. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Call right now. Dr. Stan here, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. And as we, of course, are heard on radio and shortwave and satellite and internet on almost 60 outlets every single week, but it's an expensive proposition, and quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing and expanding our listening audience. And we pay for our time so we can tell you the truth. And we'll tell you what Rush Limbaugh and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and Barbara Walters will not tell you. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and get the four best tapes of the month and our monthly newsletter, and help us in what we're doing in our effort to preserve America, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, we'll be glad to send it to you at the same address. And then, of course, we want to mention that Radio Liberty is going to put on an all-day program, all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 29th of November. It's going to be at Aptos Seascape in the Monterey Bay area. And if you want to come from an adjacent area, we can tell you where you can get rooms at local hotels. But we would just simply point out that we're going to bring in speakers. We're going to have talks on the Patriot Act, on the church growth movement, on health and health issues, on Christian persecution. It'll be a great all-day seminar. And, of course, the doors will open at 7:30 or 8 in the morning. And, of course, the program will start at 8:30, go all the way through to 5. There's going to be lunch served. So we have to know how many people are coming. And you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR to make your reservation. Or send us a check for $49.95 to Post Office Box 969 in Soquel. That's S-O-Q-U-E-L. Post Office Box 969, Soquel, California, 95073. And if you didn't get the number, you can call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's $49.95 per person. I think you'll find a fascinating day. It includes, you'll get many of the much material we'll be passing out free. And, of course, we'll also, you'll get the lunch included in that. And a good time was had last year. We hope that you'll be there again this year. Please tell your friends about it. We'd like to get a good turnout. We are limited to about 150 people, so we hope that you'll be giving us a call and making your reservations now so we'll know how many people are going to be there. And then, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, let me suggest you get that. It's $12.95, or you can get it with the video and the audio tape for $29.95. is called the Brotherhood of Darkness Special. And there really is a spiritual battle. You see, the New York Times is both anti-Christian and it is anti-Jewish. Why? Because it is part of the satanic conspiracy. And you can't understand anything that's going on unless you understand what the Bible tells us, and that is that this is Satan's world, and that people say that God is in charge of everything. God can intervene anytime he wants to. But if God's in charge of everything, he's doing a terrible, terrible, terrible job. I don't believe he is. I think he expects us to be involved in this battle. And, of course, he's looking at his people. He's looking at his church. And then he's looking at society. And I'm sure that that he weeps when he sees that we do not, most Christians, and the church doesn't have its courage to stand against the demonic forces which work at every level of our society. And, of course, behind the homosexual movement are the demonic forces that energize many of the activists and, of course, tell young homosexual men that they have no alternative. They've got to be homosexual. They were born that way, and that's Satan's lie. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if the American people don't turn back to God, God will never again bless this nation. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.